They run back into the darkness as if someone called them back. And you're once again alone in the darkness. At least you think you are.
I cough heavily. I immediately reach for my arm, a deep gash there from a bite, and I just look confused because surely, I think to myself, it's not possible that what I just said did something. That's impossible. Surely not. And then I just look to my wounds and quickly start trying to bandage myself up first.
I do the same. I look over my. I feel blood is running down my limbs at several places, and my fingers are badly gnawed as well where I've held some, and they bit me before I was able to throw them away. There's still a bit of smoldering fire as some of the dead carcasses are burning from what Owen did. I look over to him and I say, that was clever. That's one of the Malkovich cocktails.
Is that what they're called?
It's a finished invention.
I see. I let my legs bleed for a while.
I look around warily, seeing as they all are slinking into holes and places in the mine, and I look over to Richard. What happened? What did you say?
Nothing. Nonsense. Nonsense. I quickly attempt to bandage at least one of my many bite marks, the nastiest one, and then I immediately, as soon as I've done myself, just stumble over to Owen and say, "Father Owen, let me. Oh God, your legs! It's all right. It's all right. I've got bandages. I've got antiseptic. Give me a moment."
You take your time. I'll be fine. I heard what you were shouting. I don't understand it, but words have power, and if that's the kind of word we need to use, if we need to be saying Nofkay and it's going to make the rats disappear, then those are the words we need to keep in mind, aren't they?
Well, I don't know if that. I don't know, Reverend. I just thought of what Dean kept saying. I don't know. Nofkay. That's what he said. Kept saying. I don't know.
Listen, we can't wait around here for long. As painful as this is, believe me, I am in a lot of discomfort right now. And I dread to think what we might be infected with, but regardless, we need to keep going, don't we? This is no different than those illusions trying to drag you into the ground and all the rest of it. Just this one, this servant of the devil, was a little more physical, but we defeated it, didn't we?
We did, but let me just see to some of these wounds.
Yes.
And I will attempt to heal myself and then Owen if I can.
Okay. Do you all use a little bit of time to just sit down and bandage up your wounds and all that?
Certainly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say that because of Richard's expertise, you all managed to heal 2 damage, all of you?
Yes, I have to get through an awful lot of the bandages, but then Father did make me bring extra.
You managed to lick your wounds. This was a horrible experience for all of you. And I need you to make a sanity roll. Because this was abnormal, at the very least abnormal. Both the fact that there were so many rats at the same time, at the same place, that they were so aggressive, that they were so big, unnatural looking. Also the fact that it seemed like something recalled them. Something told them to turn back.
I've rolled a 64 over 41.
Well, I'm gonna have you make a 1d3. And you can remove that from your sanity points.
Alright, only two.
Unfortunately, I also fail.
Alright, well, you do the same.
63 over 61.
I roll 3 under 67. I'm just so focused on seeing to everyone's wounds, checking their temperature, doing very basic stuff that probably isn't even necessary, but I'm just focused on trying to make sure everyone's okay, because it's that that's stopping me thinking about the rats and bloody knob care. I even noticed that Owen needs a small bit of a stitch, and I just get a thread out, needle and thread, and I just start doing one little stitch on him, sewing up one of his slightly larger wounds, and that is what keeps me going. I'm literally just talking to myself, saying, need to suture that and make sure to put the parasitic on. Don't worry, Reverend, this will be fine. This will be just a few days of bed rest. You'll be right as rain. I promise.
I feel overwhelmed by the experience, and even with the aid of Richard, I'm a bit helpless. I'm doing things irrationally. I'm looking for my gun as I at the same time try to adjust my clothes and find the worst bite marks. It's not very effective.
Is anyone else doing anything before you continue on your journey?
I am unable to read my Bible, but I can still, of course, remember it almost word for word. The number of times I've read it. It's my favorite book. And shaken as I am, I allow Richard to do what he needs to stabilize my wounds, while whispering to myself, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fear and anxiety are Satan's realm. He delights in causing God's children pain. My God is one of peace. He will give me the power over my worries, and I will count on his love and trust in his sovereign care." And I continue whispering to myself, to reassure myself that this is the only path, the correct path.
As Richard is trying to help me, even with me being a bit irrational and walking around, I keep going at you. But what if she's come now? What if Irma has come? What if Dale and Sally are both in the town now? What if the rats are moving down to them?
Mr. Thompson, you need to... We need to be calm. We need to keep going. God will protect us. God is with us. Something happened. It must have been God's will. It would be God's will. There's no other way, because otherwise we should have fallen there. It's a miracle.
It's God's will, and if anyone can stop them now, it is us. So sorry, I try to hold my leg still as you help and wrap a bandage about.
It's fine, Mr. Thompson. See, I'm even finally calling you Mr. Thompson rather than Mr. Burns. See, I kept making that mistake all this time. Silly me.
No, don't be silly, boy. Just call me Burn. We're all equal here. Equal.
I look over to Karin to see how he's doing, knowing that he was the last one to be beset by horrors of this place.
So far as I'm concerned, the only thing that saved us in that moment was Richard invoking whatever thing or god or force controls this place. That's what he's put together. With Richard now turning back and Owen reciting from the Bible and Byrne looking stern, Carwin's going to keep all of that to himself. Now does not seem like the right time to start believing in profane gods. To that end, Byrne sees a kind of blank stoicism. It's that familiar Carwin, the one who is stuck in something and is rolling along through it because of inertia. He's not motivated to solve this problem. He's not on a crusade as the vicar, or sorry, He's not on a crusade like Owen is, or a quest like Richard is. It's just that that's the direction they're moving.
As I see you, and even as Richard is talking to me, I forget that he is, and I start moving even when he's halfway through, and I go over to you and I just grab you by the shoulders and I say, "It's fine, Corin, you did well. We need to now save Dylan and Nesta. They might be down there. They might be still alive. They might..."
Yeah, of course. No, I'm... Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Good lad, good lad. And I start rubbing, sort of messing up your hair frenetically.
Burns right. No more of this time wasting. There's children in danger.
I make a confident show of reloading the hunting shotgun.
As you do that, I'll start doing the same with my trench gun.
I nod and finally put away what remains of my first aid kit, and I just check my arm bandage one more time and say, "Yes, right you are. Let's get going. Just rats. Just bloody stupid rats."
It seems like it now is a lot easier to get out of the mine. Whereas in the beginning, it seemed like you were walking forever. It's almost like you were right at the end of it all of this time. Because it only takes you about 30 minutes to now be on the other side of this mine. Kind of acts like a mountain pass for you. It saved you a lot of time on your journey. If it was worth it, time will only tell. But you're now outside. The sun is shining. It's midday, you would say, looking up at the sky, looking at the position of the sun. And the light is cutting into your eyes. It takes a long while for you to get used to being outside, feeling the wind again. It seems like it's been forever.
On one hand, I am relieved. But on the other hand, I'm suddenly anxious. I turn to Karin and look back to the mine and say, "Wait, is this... Are we closer to the mountains? Are we further? I thought... Damn it, I thought we'd find them in there."
I look up and I try to orientate myself. Have we been going upwards or downwards?
You've been going a little bit downwards, not too much. You're definitely close. You're in the mountains now. You're far away from Hawken. Very far away from Hawken.
I've never been this far out into the mountains before. But I start looking around there. Are there any natural paths? Are there any natural passageways or paths? Is it... Have people moved here?
You actually do see something in the distance. Something man-made. There's a tiny little shack. Just a few hundred meters away. You don't really see any natural paths. You do see that there is a parting in the grass in front of you, but it doesn't seem like something that has been utilized all that much.
Do you see that? Down there? Small shack of some sort.
Could this just be leading to that? It seems so... I guess inconspicuous, but... Well, let's head in that direction. Clearly our answer wasn't to be found under there.
And I start looking at the cave walls. Not cave. I start looking at the mountain walls just to see if there is any sign of... These blue lights, they would have made any burn marks or any other sign, you know, just anything.
No, you don't really see anything.
Draw breath and look at the others, and I'm checking if anyone is taking the lead, essentially.
I'm happy to follow Burn at this point. He's less injured than me.
And how is Karin and Richards reacting? Are any of you taking initiatives, or are you kind of waiting for me to proceed? Or?
You're citing your show. I'm happy to back you up, but at this point, Carwin lacks all confidence in his understanding of the natural world, so he's not taking on a leadership role right this second. Not until his brain figures out whether God or Napka is real.
I seem to be hesitating, clearly waiting for someone else to take the lead.
Well, then I just nod shortly and start trying to find a safe way down to this shack.
Alright, and I assume everyone follows?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
It doesn't take you long to get there. It looks to be... It's difficult to determine, but it could be an old utility or storage hut, or almost like a... It's almost too small to be a livable cabin. And it seems very old. If you look at the wood and the condition in which it's in, it looks like it hasn't been used for years.
Probably rules out this place. I don't think anyone has been here for a while, I say, as I start looking around inside to see if there's any trace at all of anything.
Yeah, you cannot look inside. The window, the one window, is covered by pieces of paper?
I'm standing currently then tugging at the door.
And the door is locked.
I come to your side at this point and just remark, Burn, why don't you just shoot the door open? We don't have time to be dealing with doors.
Certainly. Step back, lad. I don't think Burns is clever enough to go for the hinges, so I'd probably just try and shoot at the lock.
What angle is Burns shooting at?
I take a few steps back and I shoot at a side angle, like from the behind side of the door.
You do that and you hit the target, but as soon as you pull the trigger, you hear two screams from the inside of this little cabin.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. It's safe. Who's in there?
No one is responding. You can hear a slight sobbing.
Dylan? Nestor? Is that you?
Burn, I meant to aim for the door handle, not just straight forwards, Mr. Burn. You aim for the door handle, like downwards on the door handle.
I try to open the door now that I've hopefully blown away the lock.
You do so. In the cabin, you see two children. They're sitting on a makeshift bed, like a field bed, like something you would just fold out in the corner of the room. Dylan has his arms around his sister Nesta. These are indeed the two Clark's missing children. None of them is speaking. Dylan is holding his sister in a protective manner, staring at you. They look like they haven't showered in a while. They look quite dirty. They look pale. They're both shaking. Nesta is sobbing into his shoulder. They're not saying anything, though. They're just looking at you.
I stand and stare for a second, and then I call out behind me as I take my backup pack off to find them something to eat. Oh, Owen, it's them. It's the Clark children.
I move forward by Burn's side. Part of me wants to just run in and quickly check to make sure they're all right, but I pause as I do, just look to Owen, and I think to myself that maybe it's best he goes in first. No, he knows. He can deal the best with children. But I have my medical kit ready.
I certainly step in, but I say,
Richard, what are you waiting for? They might be unwell. Are you... Listen, you're safe now. You are... We're here to take you back home. Back to your family. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you recognize me? Of course you don't. I've been away for so long. Listen. We're all from Halkin. We're here to help you.
The children look at you. At least Dylan is very attentively. Almost like he is studying your every move. Nesta is not looking at you. Well, at least you don't think so. She might be peeking out from her older brother's arm in between her sobbing. None of them are saying anything. They're just staring at you.
I lean forward a little.
As you lean forward, Dylan immediately flinches backwards to the bed and presses himself up against the wall, pulling Nesta with him.
I hold up a hand as I'm by Owen. I don't move forward anymore, and I just reach into my bag and quickly take out one of the little biscuits that I brought with me. And I just hold it out and I say, "It's all right, we're friends of your father, John. John, we're John's friends. We're here to help you, little ones, I promise." And I put down the biscuit on the ground.
It seemed to catch at least Dylan's attention that you pull out food. He looks like a scared animal as he crawls from the bed very quickly, snatches the food from the ground and shoves it in his mouth like he has not eaten for days, which is probably the case. Half of it he gives to his sister, Nesta, but she doesn't really take anything. She just hides her face. The boy seems more receptive now, or at least like he knows that you're not here to hurt him. He looks at all of you.
You see, my name's Richard, and this is Reverend Owen. He's been away for a long time, but he's the Reverend of Halkin.
He looks at all of you. It looks like he's trying to say something, but nothing is escaping his lips.
Come, let's get you out of here. You remember me, don't you? I used to visit your father, John. We worked together, you know. I'm an old police. Come. I hold out my hands to them.
Dylan nods as he looks at you. It seems like he recognizes you more than any of the others. Then he walks over to the wall, which is plastered with notes. Notes upon notes. The window, too. He grabs a pen, which has been used to write all of the notes with, and sits down, facing the wall. He lifts his arm and draws a mountain. On the mountain, he draws a circle, a big circle. And in front of that circle, he draws a figure of a man. He then continues. It's like he's in a trance as he's doing this. Next to the mountain he's drawing, he draws a picture of a woman with her eyes crossed out. He draws rats upon rats upon rats upon rats. Seems like he's not stopping.
I step forward just a little and I just watch the boy drawing this strange imagery. I feel like I need to make sense of this. I need to be able to understand what this imagery means. Could I perhaps try an idea roll?
Yeah, you definitely can.
That is a 7 under 90.
So you take a really good look at what this boy is drawing on the wall. You can definitely tell that he's trying to depict something. He's trying to tell you something. The rats you recognize right away, you know what that means since you've just been exposed to it. You know that the mountain is probably a mountain nearby. You can also deduct that there is something on that mountain. Something, you don't know what the circle is, but you know that it bears significance. It's important. It's something that maybe Dylan has seen before. You can make out that the male figure in front of the circle on the mountain is probably Dean. You can make out that from the drawing of the female, that this is probably Dean's fiance. She's dead. The cross over her eyes is something that children often do to indicate that something has died or is dead.
I just stare at this image for a moment, and it's strange how I draw these conclusions. A little part of my mind tells me that I have no proof, logically, that that could be Dean and that could be his fiancée, but I know that it was Dean who took her from the grave, and I know that Dean kidnapped the children. I know these things, so it must be. And I just mouth to Owen. Owen, I think this is Dean, and this is the fiancé, and I think Dylan's trying to tell us on the mountain. Dylan, is this is the top of the mountain, young man? Where did you see this, Dylan?
Dylan looks back at you and puts the pin down, and then he just points out the window. He points up a mountain path.
Well, I suppose I know where we have to go, but not before we get these children safely home. We can't leave them here, we can't take them with us, and we're going to have to find a different way of getting back to Halkin, because I'm not taking them back through that mine.
No, not with all these rats. There was a side passage, if you remember. It could be that that is another way to go. It would be a bit longer, but could be worth it, I say. I look around warily, looking what Corwin has been doing this whole time.
Honestly, dreading what Father Owen just said. Finding the children is the goal. Amazing. Thrilled to have that taken care of. But we do have to get them back, and I'm in no mood to go crawling back through those tunnels. That applies on the way back, but also on the way forward. Whatever is here, whatever the children are describing, depicting, it knows we're here because of the rats. The amount of time it's going to take to get the kids back to the village and then come back, what happens? What if it leaves? What if it prepares some rat-based defenses? What if... It's too uncertain.
I look down at Richard. You think that this is Dean, then? Well, we have seen to it now that he no longer has that key. He couldn't possibly be making his way out here again. We've put an end to that, don't you worry, Dylan.
I whisper to Byrne. But Byrne, oh, remember? The grave, it was... He dug the grave afterwards. Remember, I called the hospital. They refused to... The nurse refused to even speak to me. The hospital, something's happened at the hospital. I don't know. I don't know if we go to the hospital, if we go up the mountain.
Listen, this is too much. I'm sorry, children. I'm sorry to raise my voice. I'm sorry, gentlemen. We should only have one objective at this time, and it's to get these children who are scared, who have been brought here, and we don't know by whom, although we certainly have a guess, back to their family. And yes, Carwin, it means we may have to go back underground, but this time we're going to have to send a scout ahead. One of us is going to have to make sure the passage is clear, and then the rest of us will follow.
Now, remember, like I said, there is a long way around. We probably could go along the mountain wall. There was a pass.
Well... And if that pass is something we can navigate, then that's what we'll do.
Mm.
While you're planning all of this, Nesta looks up from her position on the bed. What about Callum?
Callum?
We need to save Callum.
Nesta, do you know where Callum is?
She shakes her head.
When did you see him? Where?
The mountain.
Was it Dean that took him to the mountain?
I don't know his name.
I start to describe how Dean looks to see if that could be a match.
Nesta nods.
Well, Callum has been gone for nearly 4 weeks now, Nesta. I look over to Owen again.
Don't say what you're about to say, Bern. It's not the time. I know what you're thinking. We're all thinking it, but don't say it out loud. Listen, we don't have much choice. We can't leave them here, and if we think there is any possibility that Dean or anyone who he's working with might come back, we can't exactly leave him in this cabin and head on up the mountain, can we? And we can't take them all the way up there, either. It's going to be very treacherous underfoot, I'm sure.
I hesitate before quietly saying we could split up.
Well, yes, that is the only other course, and I have considered it, and... Well, how about this, then? Two of us take the children back to town. Two of us climb up the mountain. And the two that go back to town had better drag the people of that bloody town all the way here. Even if they have to do it physically, because there is no hiding from this anymore. And I still don't know why, but I still feel like the people of Halkin have been hiding from this. I want an army up this mountain after us. I want us picking through every bloody rock to find Callum.
I nod grimly as I'm opening a can of beans and I start slowly feeding the children.
I agree with you, Owen. I don't know, though. I don't know who should go and who shouldn't, though.
I suppose the simple answer is, which of us are the best climbers?
Dylan knows the way back.
Oh, Dylan, we can't let you just go without us. We don't know what you might run into.
Dylan knows the safe way back.
Well, that's good then. He can lead some of us, but yes, we can't have you going off alone in the woods. It's not safe.
Are you going to find Callum?
We're going to try our best, and by the grace of God, we will.
And I just fall silent, because I don't know if I'm good enough to climb, or if it's more important I stay with the children. Part of me wants to go back, because of course I want to go back now, but part of me then feels that's... me being a coward again, and I should go forward, but I just don't know, and I just kind of look down on the ground.
There's no way we should be splitting up between the four of us. If we're going to go back to the village, then we go back to the village. If we're going to press on, we're going to press on. But between the four of us, we could barely handle a tidal wave of rats.
Well, now we know, don't we? We know the magic word that sends them running.
We don't know that for sure, Father. I'm just saying, we don't know it for sure. It
don't question me. We have been set on this course by some power, and something is testing us, and if we all turn tail now, you have convinced me, Richard, we need to split up, and we need to end this pilgrimage at the top of that mountain. And my proposal is this, that Richard, these two, as shaken up as they are, these two children, they appear to be able to walk. They don't appear to need your immediate medical attention. But we don't know what state Callum is in, so you need to keep going.
You're not going to make it anywhere in the tunnels without me.
Well, I hate to volunteer you, but I do think that it's the job for the younger men to keep going up, and Bern and I will go back to the town with these two as quickly as possible, and then we will come back. We will come back with every person fit to wear a pair of boots from Halkin. You have my word on that.
He's right. Karen, he's bloody well right. We just need to go, you and I, we just need to check the top of that mountain as best we can. Because if Callum is there, we need to act now. There won't be any time. And he's right, that the children need to be brought back to safety as well. It's the only way. Yes, you're right, Reverend. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Well, that settles that then, doesn't it? I'll give Richard a firm pat on the back. And with a bit of a wry resignation, ask, when's the last time you found yourself climbing a mountain?
Probably not since the war, and it was probably more just a steep hill. But I've got good dexterous hands. That those help, don't they? I'm light.
It's the spirit, boy. All right. Come on, Bern. Let's get moving now. I suggest, Carwin, Richard, if there's anything you need from our packs, you take it now.
Money, the rope.
Before you leave, you do notice a notebook on the small table.
I finish up feeding the children the beans, put down the tin can, and I look more at the notes that are all around the wall, so I'm probably not the first one to notice the book. Do I see anything on these notes? What do they depict?
Lots of pictures of rats. Lots of pictures of the circle and the mountain. Lots of pictures of very poorly drawn portraits of Laurie, Dean's fiance.
But what else is in this place? Where do they get all these notes from? Is it like a storage place of notes?
No, it seems like it's just pages from a book that's been ripped out.
So does anyone see the notebook then?
Well, I perhaps notice it. And I'll go over and I'll just pick it up. And as I pick it up, I do say, well, one thing for sure, Karen. If Dean can climb a goddamn mountain, so can I. I pick up the notebook and I just sort of start reading it aloud. And as I do, I just show it to everyone else. Day one. First the war, now this. Laurie's gone, and as the longing for her grows stronger, so does my sadness. Oh, God, if there was only a way for me to get her back. If I had known, I would have crawled into the grave with her and held her for all eternity.
Day 5. The only thing that is keeping me somewhat sane in this dreadful existence is this book. An odd one. Although I do not like to admit it, I took it from a home in Ponzan. The family would never return, and from the hundreds of books in their library, this book... Is it daft to say it spoke to me from the shelf? I do not understand the language, but I hear the words clearly in my mind. As clear as day, I have only just opened it, and I am enthralled.
Day 13. This book, how did it know? How could it know this was what I longed for? The ritual, the one on page 68. I can't read it, but I know what to do. I know what I must do. Open the portal, it whispers. What has been lost will be returned. That which is cold will breathe. But the portal wants life in return. Everything for a price, it says. I must find targets. I must find easy targets.
Day 14. I don't recall how I got him here, but I have the boy. My mind is not my own. I am a rat. I see through the eyes of the rodent. They talk to me. Where is the boy, I say? Here, they whisper. And I follow. I follow. Why won't he stop crying? If only he would stop his crying.
Day 17, I am imprisoned. What have they done? They've ruined everything. They can't keep me in here. I need to find Laurie. She is cold, the rats say. The boy isn't enough, they say. Two more, two more.
Day 19. Portal is open. Oh, God. What have I done? Oh, God. Creatures from hell. I must continue. Lowry, I must get Lowry. The town knows. They know. The boy is gone. Who am I? What am I?
And that's it. That's the last note from the book.
Where did you say he found the book?
Somewhere in Potsdam.
It's Poland, right?
Oh, and you recognize Poznan. It's a Polish town that was very much influenced by the Second World War. Completely almost destroyed.
How did it get all the way over here, I suppose? Dean must have brought it here and called to it. That's what it sounds like. What are we doing all the way over in Poland? We barely got into Germany before the war was over. It doesn't matter.
It's foul magic, devil worship.
It does sound like it. You know, they do say that the communists are godless.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter because, although, the boy is gone. What does that mean? Does that mean the boy Callum got away?
We can't trust the writings of a madman.
No. No, you're right. It doesn't change anything. We still need to go and check. And I just close the notebook and hand it over to Byrne. But here you go. This is bloody well evidence, at least, of something. You can, when you get back to town, you can get everyone.
I start packing it down into my pack. He is doing something foul. He is taking the shape of a rat, moving about, slinking about. That explains how he was able to move out of the hospital. I look a bit wild-eyed at the rest of you.
Well, maybe. But let's focus on what we need to do next. You need to get these kids out of here, and we need to go and check that mountain, and maybe we'll be lucky, and there's absolutely nothing anywhere near the top, and we could just come straight after you.
There is a plan. Will it succeed? Only time will tell. But now our group at least know a little bit more about what have gone on. They've saved two children. Maybe two children more than they thought they would. And they know what to do.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the campaign The Whispers of the Mountains for Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition. The Whispers of the Mountains was written by Clara Herbel, who was also our keeper. We were joined by Aaron Hammonds from Queen's Court Games and our dear friend Matthew Dawkins. The music is from the Cthulhu, Nyarlathotep, Jog-Sothoth, Shub-Niggurath, and Asatoth compilations by our friends at Cryochamber and the Paleo Wolf album Genesis. Check them all out at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for more music for your gaming table. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rawlerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Lange, Julian, and Cameron for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of the Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening. And remember, that is not dead, which can eternal lie. And with strange eons, even death may die.